Well, hi everyone. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Tonight, I have a very special guest and a friend with me. Les Edgerton is well known for his dark crime fiction and noir. He has been nominated for or won the Pushcart Prize, the O. Henry, Edgar Allan Poe Award for short stories, the Derringer, the Texas Institute of Letters, Jesse James Book Award, the Violet Crown Book Award, Spine Tingler Magazine for the Best Thriller, and others. He's also had his screenplays placed as semifinalist in the Nichols Foundation and finalist in the Writers Guild and Best Austin competitions. His current book is Bomb from Gutter Press, and the black comedy novel called The Genuine Imitation Plastic Kidnapping from Down and Out Press. It is my pleasure to welcome to Authors on the Air my friend and terrific best-selling author, Les Edgerton. Hi, Les. How are you today?
Hi, Pam. I'm fine. I'm pretending to be awake. I dozed off, but I came back.
Well, I know that you just had major surgery and you're just about recovered, because I know you're getting ready to kick town in a little while to go out of town to see your best friend. I read your blog all the time, and I think that's great. What's new and exciting in your world?
Well, for one thing, I got some freedom from my back pain. That's a major thing. It's been a long time. I've had my third shot, and it finally took. Now I'm kind of almost pain-free. Not quite, but whatever. But I'm looking forward to VoucherCon. I'm finishing up a book my agent's been after, screaming at me to get. Well, she didn't scream, but she's been urging me to get done. I hope to get that done in the next couple of weeks. And some other things, like 2 weeks just to write. So I'm really excited about that.
Are you still teaching, Les? Are you still teaching writing?
Yeah, that's why I had 2 weeks, because we run 10-week sessions, and we usually take a week between this time I'm taking two so I can get this thing done, this book done. And then we start up in another 2 weeks with another 10-week session. So that goes on constantly. I got some great students. I think a few of them are probably listening in tonight.
Well, that's great. How many students do you have in each of the classes?
I restrict it to 10. Sometimes I'll slip it up to 12. We have literally dozens more that could get in, but I want to devote enough time, quality time, thereby, so I really keep a tight cap on it at 10 to 12 people. And then we have auditors, which there are unlimited numbers there. They can see what we're doing, but they don't participate in there. There's all kinds of numbers of people doing that for a lot less money.
Are you having fun doing this? Do you like teaching?
I love teaching, but I love teaching my way. I used to teach in universities. I taught at UCLA in a writer's program. I was writer in residence twice, and once at University of Toledo and once at Trine University. And I was at St. Francis University. So I found out I really do not like the university model of teaching, because they want you to teach what they call the sandwich method. And that's a method where you give a bit of praise, and then you put a little criticism in, and then you put the last piece and some more praise on it. And there are times when I can't find a single thing to praise somebody about. So our class is not about holding hands and praise and making people feel good about themselves. If it sucks, we tell you it sucks. But we also tell you why it sucks and how to fix it. So the great majority of my students have gone on to become published, and published legitimately and well.
When you start, are you starting off with raw talent there? Students who have never written before, are you starting from the very beginning to teach them the craft?
We have all levels. We have that level for up to people that have already gotten novels out. We have all levels and all genres. It doesn't matter, because my own personal belief of genres is that of Nabokov's. He only recognized two genres of writing, and I do too, and that's good writing and bad writing. But everybody starts from page one. Everybody.
Wow, that's great.
I had a lady, Megan. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go right ahead.
I had a lady in one of my early classes years ago, Megan Beaumont, who came to class with a finished 400-page novel. And she ended up throwing that in the circular file and rewriting again. She's having her fourth book launch next in 3 weeks in at Poison Pen Press in Arizona. But yeah, she wanted to kill me several times. I know that she confessed that later. She used to throw things at my picture and everything. But that's all right. That's
how long?
I don't care.
How many weeks are your classes? How many weeks do the classes last?
They're 10-week sessions.
Uh-huh.
Although sometimes
we'll
take a week or two off in between if we hit the walls or got things going on and stuff like that. I've got people all over the world. I think I hope one guy in particular calls him Gerald Connor from Ireland. But we've got people from Ireland, Taiwan, London, all over the U.S., Canada. They're everywhere in the world, and it doesn't matter.
Well, it's interesting for me to note that one of your most popular books is the writer's text that you wrote called, pardon me, Hooked, Write Fiction That
mm-hmm.
Grabs Readers at Page One and Never Lets Them Go.
Uh-huh.
I think that I love the title because it's absolutely true. If you're a reader like I am, if something doesn't grab me right away, I'm moving on because, as you well know, there are, almost a million books published every year on Amazon, either
mm-hmm.
in Kindle version or in tree books. And with so much to choose from and so many great writers out there, I can't wait to the third or fourth chapter for someone to get my attention. Does that make sense to you, Les, as a teacher?
Absolute sense.
Yeah.
I've owned two bookstores, and I used to watch people see how they bought books. And there were three ways. Excuse me. If they didn't know an author, if they were looking for something new, the way they picked books, the basic way, the most common way, was they'd read the first few paragraphs or page. And I'd time after time, I saw them put them down after a quick look at that. Second, some people go to the very back and look at that. A few people look at blurbs. And I'm sorry, I need a cigarette. The weirdest ways people buy books is I've watched do this hundreds of times. They'll pick up two books in their hands and they'll weigh them against each other. Whichever is the bigger, the same amount of money, that's the one they'll buy. They'll buy it by
You're
weight.
You're kidding me.
No,
that
I'm not.
So
I'm,
funny.
You ask anybody that's ever worked in a bookstore, and they'll tell you the same thing.
That is hysterical to me. But but more nowadays, we hear that the trend is for books to be smaller, where books used to be, 110,000 words. Books are coming in averaging about 80,000 words now. And maybe that's a time crunch that people don't make the time to read. Maybe it's because like the great Jeffrey Deaver says, you use an economy of words to tell your story.
Sure.
And so I'm not sure what it is, but for me, there are books that are so good that when I finish reading them, I don't realize that they're 700 or 800 pages. It's story inside. What trips up young writers the most? Is it the dialogue is too wordy or too repetitious or not enough? It doesn't move the story forward, or is their narrative too weighty? What do you think is it that happens the most often that puts the brakes on a book or a story?
I think you just nailed it because you named parts of writing. And I think that's the problem with writer education and everything. We teach bits and parts of writing, but we never teach what a story is. That's what our class is all about. We teach story structure, and people do not realize how stories go together. I've got a class I teach on Thelma and Louise where I go through the entire movie, and just about everybody's seen it. So it's the best thing they've ever witnessed to inform their own writing, because we show how all the parts fit together. And I see a lot of what I would consider misinformation on the internet with writing. I see a lot of what I call bumper stickers of writing advice, and I'll give you a couple quick examples. One is write what you know, which is horse shit, because if you wrote what you know, unless you murdered somebody, you could probably never write a murder mystery. If you're not 500 years old, you could probably not write anything very far back in history. You couldn't write anything in the future, obviously. The proper the proper advice is not write what you know, it's write what you can convince the reader you know. And I see that kind of thing all the time expressed. And I see some misinformation out there. This is all my opinion. Somebody feel free to disagree. But as far as the main characters, two major characters in any book, and that's the protagonist and antagonist. And I have a hissy fit when I see somebody talking about heroes and villains and that kind of crap, because I think it totally perverts what those characters should do. The protagonist is simply the person you experience the story through their point of view, and the antagonist is simply the person whose main goal is conflict with those of the protagonist's goals. That's it. But when you start applying moral definitions to them, good and bad and that kind of thing, villains and heroes, I think you tend to come up with one-dimensional cardboard kind of characters, one-dimensional characters, Snidely Whiplash and Dudley Do-Right. And I really hate that kind of terminology.
Well, because it's true that there are some books where the protagonist is really the anti-hero. You just can't believe that this is going to be the hero of the story. And some of the best stories I've read have been like that. We have a call. Let's go ahead and take one now.
Okay, I've got two books like that, The Bitch and the Rapist.
Right. Area code 785. You are now live with Les Edgerton. Who's this?
Hello, everyone. This is B.R. Statham calling in to say hello to the last
Oklahoma. Hey, Oklahoma.
Hi, B.R. How are you?
You getting a tornado out there?
Well, we're just burning to death out here. That's all. It's only about 105, 106.
I'll be out your way next week, B.R.
Where are you going?
Kind of your way. I'm going to Scottsdale for a week with my best friend Tom Rao.
Well, you're leaving me in hotter situations out there.
Yeah, but we'll be inside because everybody stays inside to stay away from the serial killer, I guess.
Hey, I was just listening to you on what you were talking about, how to write. I agree 100% with you, but there's one thing I also think a writer needs, and a writer really needs to emphasize, and that's his imagination.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree.
Sure, because DR, you're a writer too. So let me ask you this: without an imagination, how can you tell a story? You can't, can you? Is it possible?
Well, it wouldn't
see
be
how
fiction.
It is.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't be fiction. It'd be nonfiction because that's about as far as you could go.
That'd be what Truman Capote called Jack Kerouac's writing. He said that's not writing, it's typing. And not that I agree with that, but that's what that kind of story would be. That isn't writing, it's typing.
Well, and think about all the really tremendously, wonderfully talented science fiction writers, for instance. Without that imagination, there is simply no way that story could ever come about.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. We agree in about everything, B.R. You know that.
Yeah, it's kind of scary, you know what I'm saying?
It's
scary
what way?
To agree with Les on everything. That's what scares me.
Well, agree with me that Jack Daniels is the best American whiskey and Middleton is the best whiskey overall.
All right. I'll give you that.
B.R., I'm so glad you called in. Are you going to continue listening?
You bet. I'll
you better. I know where he lives.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
I know where he lives, Pam.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right. This is B.R. Stratham, who's also a great author. Thank you for calling in, B.R., and we'll talk again soon, okay?
All right. Nice talking to y'all.
All right.
Hey, you too,
B.R. Bye-bye.
See you later.
He's got the best flat top
for
in the business.
For those of you who want to call in and talk to Les, the number is 347-633-9609. We've got another caller from
Unless
area
it's
code.
A warrant and I'm not really here.
Okay, 73. I won't tell him where you are. Area code 732. Hi, you're live with Les. Who's this?
This is Jack Getz.
Yes, I thought he died.
Jack, how are you? Jack, haven't seen you since last year at BoucherCon. How's everything?
That's right. And that's why I called tonight. I wanted to know if Les was able to fix all those outstanding warrants so he could go to New Orleans this year.
No, but I have a good disguise. I have a great
Jack
disguise. I'm going to go as a redheaded Jack Getz character.
Hey, Jack, are you going out to VoucherCon this year? Or are you going to VoucherCon this year?
No, I'm not going this year.
Neither am
I.
I'm
going to be lost.
It's breaking my heart. I'm telling you, it's breaking my heart. Tom Pitts is going to do a live show, though, for Skid Row Chatter out there like he did last year, so that should be fun. But I'm not going to go either.
Sure,
I have
listen.
To...
Yeah, that'll be great. Yeah, that'll be great.
I'm going to have to wait.
Major award, Pam.
I know.
Pam, did you know Jack has a book up for a major award?
I know. I saw it. I think it's
big,
great. What's
what is
your
it,
book?
Big
which,
Tits
which
or
book?
Something like that?
Jack.
Well, maybe. I'm not sure. I think I'm going to have to show up and see. But,
you're
going
to have to show up for sure.
I'm going to have to show up and see if they really do that. But I forgot. I was going to ask Les something else, but I forgot.
Okay, so here's my question, Jack. Les and I are talking about writing. You know, he just said, you know, the worst advice that he's ever heard is write what you know. And so what's your piece of advice?
Well, I would disagree with that if you know something pretty interesting or, you know, or if that's what you want to write about. I think Les is right. I think a professional writer should learn how to research and put himself in everybody's place so you can write about anything. And, you know, you should write about what's important to you. But, I wrote about what I went through myself, and that's what I seem to do best at.
You're not disagreeing with me, Jack.
I'm not?
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
No,
well, I'm
just
writing
said that
what I know.
I said was that the advice was incomplete. They said write what you know, and I said no, write what you convince the reader you know.
Yes. Okay. Well, you're right.
And you'll know
it
if you do the research and everything.
Well, and I think what I had to say about, what I maybe wanted to say about finance and stuff was worth saying. So,
it does.
There you go. Yeah.
That's what I wanted. Les, I'm going to send you some. I just finished a book and sent it to my agent 2 days ago. I think it's going to change my life.
Is that
not
the
mystery.
One that came back with postage due?
Yeah. God damn, Les, you really take my thunder every time.
No longer here.
I'm such a straight man. This guy should pay me to
no
go.
No longer at this address.
I know you. I remember that about you, Jack. I remember when we were at VoucherCon last year. You were like that too. Of course, you and I sat there and laughed the whole time. I recall also. So.
Well, that's why I called in tonight. And that's why Les is one of my best friends. He doesn't know it, but
I know that.
He's really like one of the top guys. And it's because he makes me laugh. There are very few
there
people that can make me do that just by looking at me. And Les is
there
one.
You go.
That's why
there
he carries
go.
A mirror with him, so if he's feeling low, he can get a laugh.
Jack, it's great.
Jack,
that,
you know, Jack,
yeah,
cool.
I feel like I'm taking over the show. And I want to hear more of what Les has to say.
Hey, Pam,
okay.
Jack is so
Jack,
ugly
I'm glad
that
you
usually
called
he
in.
Stays.
Yeah.
Hey, Jack.
No.
Jack,
I can't hear you.
Jack
Les.
Is so ugly. He always shaves with his back to the mirror.
You are so bad. Jack, yes, I'm glad you called in, my friend.
Me too,
keep
buddy.
Listening, okay?
Thanks, Pam.
All right.
All right.
Sure thing.
Have fun,
bye-bye.
You guys.
Me too,
I'll be
brother.
Listening. All
right,
okay.
Buddy.
What a hoot.
I love Jack.
He really is your straight man, though, Les.
I'm his straight man, too. He gets off some pretty good zingers, too. Don't let him kid
you. Well, if you let him. So let's back to writing, because you teach craft, and one of the things that I noticed that a lot of newer authors, and sometimes those who have been around for a while, forget to do, is that's to build, I don't care what genre you're in, is to build tension in the book so that about two-thirds of the way through, if all I'm worried about is someone having a kitchen fire, you know, that's not the height of tension as far as I'm concerned. That's not the story arc that I want to read. So how do you how do you say to someone or teach to an aspiring writer or even an author how you slowly build tension, but it's got to reach a high point so that I'm not reading a book and then having nothing. I'm not getting a payoff at all. Because in my opinion, when I'm reading, I'm emotionally and intellectually invested in that book. So I want the payoff of a really high point and then unwind it for me after that. So how do you teach that? Is that something that is part of the craft of writing?
That's you really nailed it, because it all goes back to story structure. I've just found over the years that most people are not taught structure very well or even at all. And the thing is, a book is very simple. Plots are always causal, meaning this happens, which causes this to happen, which causes this to happen, which causes this to happen. It has to be from the protagonist's point of view, from their viewpoint. Story structure is very simple. I have all my students do an outline of their novel before we start, and it's not one of those god-awful Roman numeral outlines of pages and pages. It's a five-statement outline. It consists totally of 15 to 20 words. It should guide your entire novel and show you how a novel is laid out. The first statement is the inciting incident, because all novels are about one thing only, and that's trouble. Well, something has to happen to the protagonist to start that trouble, to create that trouble. That's the very first thing that should be in the book. Nothing before, anything before that's backstory does not belong in the beginning of a contemporary book. And I know there's going to be people say, oh, there's this great book that broke that. There's a great book that broke every rule in the world, and that's fine. There's never been a book written that was perfect, never will be. But by and large, to get published, you better follow the structure, or I don't think you're going to have much chance. And what happens is the inciting incident has to begin what I call the surface problem. I've broken story problems down into one problem but two parts. One I call the surface problem, and the other I call the story-worthy problem. And they're both one and the same thing, except the protagonist has to go through the entire struggle to resolve the surface problem to understand what the story-worthy problem is. And the best example, if I go on too long, just yell at me, but the best example I can give, the most perfect, is Thelma and Louise. It starts out, and the inciting incident is when she does not ask her husband for permission in the first 3 minutes of the story. That's
right.
And he does something to her that he's done a lot of times. This time it triggered her. She reached a point of no return. She was not going to take it for another second until she resolved it. So she doesn't ask for his permission. That's her first act, and that's a reaction. After that, the protagonist has to become proactive on her own behalf. She cannot be reacting to things. She has to be creating things that she thinks are going to resolve the problem, but they get her into worse and worse trouble. And that's exactly what Thelma and Louise do. That's exactly what Thelma does. And the next three statements are the three major plot turns of any novel. And if you look at any good novel, there's basically three major turns. There can be dozens and even hundreds of smaller actions, but they almost always end up with three. And then the final statement is a statement of the resolution. And a good resolution has to represent a win and a loss to the protagonist. And that's story structure. That's it. But most people have not been taught that. They don't understand it. We take a long time to teach that. But at some point, once the surface problem started, the author, it's their job to put yeast in that problem and blow it up very big. And that's what they do with Thelma and Louise. She has her friend shoot the guy and kill him. Now they're on the run. Her initial problem is to escape her husband's domination of her. But her real problem, which she does not understand until she goes through all the struggle, is to understand her husband is just symptomatic of that. Her real problem is she is a woman trapped in a male-dominated world. That's but they're one and the same.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. So let me ask you purely on a genre aspect. I know you use Thelma and Louise because it's a great story anyway. Would you say that if that was a book, that would be a very noir book?
To me, it's just good writing. I guess it would be. It fits a lot of the parameters in noir. I kind of got trapped in that noir thing, and everything I've got written has kind of been dark, and I didn't even know there was a thing named noir when I started. But I think if you look at almost all good books, they all have noir elements in them. I think of a good book that doesn't fit that. I really can't.
Right, I understand. So here's my question to you. Everybody who wants to write can certainly sit down and they can write, but everyone is not bound to be an author. Is that correct? Or can you make any writer an author? Not everyone is destined to be an author, right?
Well, yeah, exactly right. Not everybody can be a good author. Let's say that.
Right.
Today, with e-publishing and all that, anybody can get something out there. It's the same thing as Vanity Press. We just call it something else now. So the ability to get something out with somebody's name on it is there for anybody. You don't need any money to speak of or anything. But to be an author, it's more than that. But, again, it's a personal, subjective description of what it is. And everybody has their own description. But as far as good writing, I see a lot of white noise out there. I mean a lot of white noise.
I bet. So not everyone is really meant to publish stories. They might enjoy writing, just like maybe I enjoy journaling, but that doesn't mean I can write a book. So not everybody can write a book. Is that correct? A book the way it's supposed to be written.
Everybody can't write a good book, I'll say that.
Right.
How about this? Everybody can't. Barry Bonds said something in an interview, which I take to heart. I think it applies to writing, too. One day a reporter, when he's in the middle of his 73 homer season, said, "Barry, how did you hit this particular home run? It was a real physical feat." And he told the reporter, he says, "I'm not even going to waste your time and my time because you can't learn that. There's some things I can do you cannot do." Same thing in writing. If you studied with Faulkner for 5 years and lived with him and slept in the same bed and everything and wrote every day with him, that you would ever become Faulkner? Chances are not. But you could become even better than him, possibly. I don't know. But you would never become Faulkner. Some things you cannot teach. Some things cannot be learned. But that doesn't mean you can't be great on your own, with your own talent, either.
So let me ask you this. Is there a natural storyteller? Are there natural storytellers out there who really can...
I firmly believe there are.
Really?
I firmly believe there are. I'm from the South, and that's our tradition. In fact, I think the best writers in the world first come from Ireland and second from the American South. And I think it's because of class, our tradition and history. Both of us have great oral traditions, and class and station life mean a lot more there. My wife is a Yankee. She's in New Hampshire and now Fort Wayne, and I'm from the South. I grew up in Texas and Louisiana most of my life.
Right.
And I'll just tell you a thing. I don't care. I don't know if it's PC or not. I don't really care because I don't subscribe to any of that. But we just moved to New Orleans right after we got married. We're walking down the street, and I saw this young girl and a young man walk by us, and I said, "Oh, she's passing." And Mary didn't know what that meant. She said, "What do you mean she's passing?" And I said, "Well, she's passing for white." And she said, "What are you kidding me? That girl is whiter than I am." And I said, "Well, yeah, but that's not..." She said something. It was in her language inflection, the way she held her head, something that she said that... Mm-hmm. And she said, "Oh, you're nuts. You're all these Southerners making this stuff up." I said, "No, I'm not." But I let her drop. Next day she came home from work, and she worked in a salon, near our house on the Carrollton. And she said, "You won't believe this. There's a black girl that works in our shop, and that same girl that we passed the street came in, and the black girl said to Mary, said, 'That girl's passing.' And she said, 'My husband said the same thing. I don't see anything different in her.'" That's the difference. The language has nuances if you're from the South that mean things. Tell other people who you are. Yankees don't experience that. So I think the language is richer because for that one reason, if nothing else.
Okay, so one of the things I noticed in when I'm reading, and you know I read about 400 books a year, so I don't watch TV. I don't have a TV. So I read, and I read across a lot of genres. I like genre fiction a lot. I like some literary fiction, but I like genre fiction a lot. I'm not a snob about books, that's for sure.
Sure.
gets me is how unrealistic some dialogue is. And it makes me wonder, necessary or is it important or is it ridiculous to read your own dialogue out loud once in a while to see how it sounds to your ear? Particularly, is it something your character would say?
Yeah. I think you should read everything you write out loud, all of it, because especially with today's computers and laser printers and all that good stuff, when we put something on the page, it looks professional, it looks done, and a lot of times it's not. If you read out loud, those mistakes will jump out at you immediately. They just will, because writing is a form of breathing. It's a rhythm just like breathing is, and if the breathing isn't right when you try to read it out loud, that stuff will jump at you immediately, especially dialogue, but all of it, really.
The best books I've ever read are books that I want to go and read out loud, and I do that sometimes. There are some passages that are so well written that I go back and read them out loud because there is a nuance to the dialogue or to the narrative that it's you know, I'm touching it with a different sense. You know, it's an oral. Yeah, yeah, please.
I would write myself a little note and put it in my purse or in my pocket or something that says, I'm just reading out loud. I'm not talking to the voices in case they pick you up walking down the street.
Listen, I have five cats and I have five cats and live by myself. So I'm talking to all the time to nobody who answers back. So it's okay. They expect the crazy lady in the apartment down the hall, you know, to be talking to herself.
I guarantee you, they will arrest you for what you write. I got arrested in the bus station in Fort Wayne years ago. I broke up with this girl and took off and went to New Orleans, and she called the cops and said I stole something from her. So they got me at the bus station. This is a true story. Got me at the bus station, and they broke open my suitcase, and I had a manuscript, a crime manuscript, and said, you're planning a crime? I said, no, I'm a writer. I missed my bus and the whole thing. I hated her.
God.
But I didn't steal anything. She didn't have anything I wanted, so I was leaving. But, they read and said, this is a crime you planned. That's just shit.
Well, that's funny.
You can't win.
I want to remind everyone, the call-in number to say hi to Les is 347-633-9609. He is expecting, nay, demanding that you call in and say hello, so please do. And I might be nice enough to go ahead and give you one of Les's books if you call in. How about that? That'll work out pretty good, wouldn't you say? Yeah.
It's a little old lady getting a rapist. Those are good stocking stuffers for grannies.
There you go. That's what I'm going to – The Bitch and the Rapist are going to be my books to go ahead and give for Christmas. Right.
There you go.
So besides teaching writing, I know you write an awful lot about writing. As a matter of fact, rather than having a website, you prefer to blog. The written word is that important to you, isn't it, Les?
Yeah, it's kind of everything. And speaking of blogging, I just went on today for the first time in 6 weeks. I've never gone that long, but I was in a lot of pain, and it was all I could do to get out of bed, do my class every day. Now hopefully I'll start doing it more regularly, but I'm sorry for anybody that looks on that thing and expects something out there, but in the archives, there are a lot of articles and essays and stuff I've written on writing.
I posted those on the Authors on the Air Facebook page, by the way. Your blog is posted there and on my page.
Cool.
Tell me something else. Go ahead.
There's a guy that is near you now, a guy named William Joyce, or his other name, Guillermo O. Joyce, who's one of the best writers I've ever encountered. And I just read his book, Firstborn of an Ass, that was blurred by Norman Mailer. And that's the best single book I've ever read in my life. And I just wanted to give him a shout-out. He's living in near Penry in St. Augustine right now. He's playing the harmonica outside of restaurants for pennies. All his books are unavailable except one. He's got a collection of essays that are available as an e-book. And this guy is brilliant. He taught with John Irving at the Iowa Writers Program. He's friends with Saul Bellow, Kurt Vonnegut, everybody. And Norman Mailer, all his guys are his friends.
But why aren't his books available?
Well, he's like me. He's been kind of a dick. He says things the way they are, and he pisses people off the literary establishment. So he's made a lot of enemies, but I don't care. The guy is a freaking genius. He's a living legend. And I've got him hooked up with my agent now, and my German publisher, and they're excited about his work. So he's got a new Cuban memoir coming out, and I think he'll hit it again. But go on my website, on my blog, because
I
have some
blog
stuff
open.
About him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This guy, I really want to make a point, try to get you two in touch, because I think you'd find him fascinating to talk to. This guy he's an absolute living legend. He really is.
Well, how about if we do this? When you talk to him again, invite him to come on the show, and you interview
mm-hmm.
him. And you know, and I'll sit in, because I'd love
Except
to.
Except I'd rather you interview him, because I can't interview him. I'll try, but I think I'm a terrible interviewer.
Well, you can come on the show. All right. Well, listen, you're a teacher, so, you know.
Both of you.
That'll
yeah.
sound. That sounds good. That sounds good.
Okay,
so let's move on to stuff. You know, a lot of your books and a lot of your work has been nominated for or won awards. I know that awards are lovely, and it's nice when you are given awards by readers and also by your peers. Is
mm-hmm.
there any one of the awards that you've been nominated for or won that stands out
more
than the other?
I'm sorry,
Pam.
I dropped my phone for a second. I missed that last
that's
part
okay.
of your question. I'm very sorry.
Okay. So that's okay. My question to you is, you've either been nominated for or won a lot of awards, either because of readers or because of your peers. Is there any one that stands out to you more than the others, and why?
Yeah, probably the Violet Crown Book Award. I won a special citation for my first novel for that, which is actually getting reissued in England with Endeavor Press as an ebook and with the Times Books as a paperback under a different title. I don't know what they're going to title, but it comes out pretty quickly. That was kind of a big deal.
Tell me why.
The Violet Crown Book Award is awarded by my first two books came out of the University of North Texas Press. And it's a very literary award, and it's, in my opinion, very prestigious. There's some award. I was just on an award thing for Thriller Fest, International
mm-hmm.
Thriller for a short story, and
right.
one of the ones I picked, Joyce Carol Oates, is one. And I don't think we weren't allowed to tell anybody we were on the committee, which I kind of hate. I got an ego. I want everybody to know I helped pick it, but whatever. But there are some awards. For instance, if Oprah ever picked me, I'm so jealous of the guy that turned her down, because I think it's a bogus award. And I think I don't think she even reads them. I think she has a committee that reads them, and I think it's all PR crap. And I think it's typical bestseller stuff and usually sob story stuff. I had a good friend that won, Brett Lott won. He's a great writer, wrote Jewel. He was one of my advisors in my master's program. But by and large, I think they're not books I'd want to read.
Interesting.
My biggest award is when peers that I really respect tell me they like my books and they write a great review. That means more to me than anything, sales or anything. It just does.
Wow. Let's take a call.
Cool.
Hi, you're live on with Les Edgerton. Who's this?
This is Matt.
Hi, Matt. Matt Coyle, hey, one
Matt.
Of the best writers I know.
Oh, hi, Matt.
How are you?
How you doing, buddy?
good. Driving in lovely I-5 South, bumper to bumper, after giving a little talk at Oceanside Library. And, I'm driving home from doing a little talk at Oceanside Library, but I had used one of Les's tips talking to this group about reading your writing out loud. So it was good to hear that
uh-huh.
I was in such good company. But I met Les at my third book signing with Megan Beaumont in Poison Pen 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
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 And
Megan's got her fourth coming out in 2 weeks from there.
Yeah, she's going to
yeah.
be here in Mysterious Galaxy in San Diego. Yeah.
Yeah.
She has got to be one of your success stories because she's an excellent writer.
Well, she brought a 400-page finished novel to class. And at that time, I was teaching through Phoenix College. And there were 12-week accredited classes, and she hated me because we threw that thing away. I said, bury it in the backyard so deep you can never find it again. And, I mean, she had a 400-page novel. She spent years writing it. It was a piece of shit, and she knows it now. She didn't then. But no, we don't hold hands or say, you know, you're good and all. There's no hand holding in our class, and we don't pat people on the back. In fact, when it's good, I really pat people on the back. I just expect it to be good. But anyway, it's still the same way. They have to get past their inciting incident and write that properly. It's the first 5 pages. She could not get past the first 5 pages until 10 weeks of a 12-week class for credit. After coming, and she hated me. In her 11th week, she finally mastered what the inciting incident was and got through. And she went on and published that book, got a 2-book deal out of that. And now she's on her 4th. But, yeah, Megan's she's probably our biggest success story, one of our biggest anyway. We've got some others, but she's aces. She really is.
Well, Matt, I want to just say this is Matt Coyle on the line talking to us now. He's got a new book called Dark Fishers, which I'm holding in my hand, and we'll be reading next. Yeah, so that's sitting right here. It's a new Rick Cahill novel, and it's a little bit different. You're taking the story in a totally different direction, which I love. Congratulations on that. And of course, you know, you've got to come back, and we got to talk about this because I won't get to see you at VoucherCon. I'm not going this year. But after VoucherCon, come back and invite Megan Beaumont to come on, too. And you can interview her, and I'll interview you, okay? That'll be
a
challenge.
She's a shy flower, but, man, you got to get her drunk.
She's not that shy.
She's fine, listen. She'll kill me.
I did it
with
her husband.
Matt. Let me answer a couple calls and see if she's calling in. Hold on 1 second.
Sure.
Area code 210. You're live on the air. Who's this?
This is Marjorie Brody from San Antonio.
Hi, Marjorie. You're talking to Les and to Matt Coyle, two terrific authors. Go right ahead.
Well, I was just wondering if Les would talk about his short story collection.
Here you go, Les. There's your question. Les, are you there? Oops, I think Les dropped his phone again. Let me go ahead and call him back because I know he dropped his phone because he dropped it already once. So we're getting him back on the phone. Did you drop your phone, Les? Hold on. That's so funny. He's been coughing real bad.
I hope this is Pam.
It is. Okay, so
somebody
you
called in and knocked you off.
No,
hi, Les.
Marjorie
has
Marjorie
Brody from San
Marjorie.
Antonio.
Marjorie. Oh, Marjorie, she's my favorite. She's my girlfriend, her and her husband.
Oh, okay. Well,
Marjorie
I'm sure
is a genius. Marjorie
well,
is
she's
a genius.
She wants to talk about your short story collection. So what
have
you got to say about that?
I
go
hope
right
she's
ahead.
Talking about Monday's Meal.
Is that the one, Marjorie?
On?
Yeah. Marjorie?
I noticed that Gumbo Yaya, what's that
Yeah, that
about?
Was kind of, well, that's kind of the stories I had left over and some new stories. Brian Lindemuth wanted a thing, and that's all, what I had at the time. But Monday's Meal is probably my favorite besides The Rapist. And, in fact, the book I'm writing now, my agent urged me to write. There's a story in there I wrote when I was 12 called Hard Times. And she said it's haunted her, and I wrote it when I was 12. There's two stories there, one I wrote when I was 11 and one when I was 12. And in the collection was praised by the New York Times. I was compared to Raymond Carver. I guess that's maybe my proudest moment. But anyway, I'm developing a novel off that story, Hard Times.
Awesome. So do you have any
Hang
tips
on, Marjorie.
For...
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go right ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go right ahead, Marjorie. Ask your question.
So do you have any tips for those of us who write short stories as well as novels?
Well, there's no money in them, as you know. There is now. I used to fight to get them, you know, when it's mail and they were all print. And now I have people ask me for them, so I can write a short story real quickly. The last 5 or 6 I've been asked to write, I wrote them in probably an hour and sent them out, and they liked them. So I guess they're in anthologies, so they're good. But I write quickly, as I think you know. But short stories, I think you have to do it because you like to write them. There are some people like Paul Brazel and some people like that their whole career is short stories, like Raymond Carver's work. But by and large, none of these guys, unfortunately, are making any money on it or anything. But Paul Brazel is one of my heroes. He writes some of the best short stories I've ever read in my life. I know he can't be up tonight. He's in Poland, you know, it's, so they
right.
the government makes him go to bed at 4:30 or something. I don't know.
Right. Hold on 1 second. Let's take another call. Stay there, Marjorie.
Okay.
Hi, area code 740. You're live with Les. Who's this?
This is Laura Moe.
Laura Moe.
Oh, Laura. Hi, yes. Laura. How you doing, girl?
Hi.
Are you in Yellow Springs?
No, actually, I'm in Seattle. I live in Seattle now.
Oh, but you were in Yellow Springs.
I was, yeah. That's where we met.
That's
in
the single best, I know, that's the single best place I've ever been to in my life for writing, ever.
Really?
And I wish they'd ask me back again. Sharon Short never wants to ask me back for some reason.
Why?
I'm kidding. I loved it there. My writer published out of it, you know, Robert Bowley. He's like four or five books now after since he set my workshop. Great guy, great writer.
Yeah. Hold on, Laura. Don't go away. Let me take another call. Let me get everybody in
okay.
on this call then. Hang on.
Okay, great.
Hi, area code 970. You're live with Les. Who's this?
Hey, this is Eddie Cook out in Colorado.
Hey,
who?
Ed, how are you? E.A. Cook, Eddie Cook, another writer.
Oh, sure, yeah. How you doing, Eddie?
Better than I deserve.
That's what she said.
Hold on 1 second.
Said,
we're going to take another call. Hang on. Let's get another caller in. Area code 319. You're live with Les. Who's this?
Hey, it's room filling up.
Craig Bersnick. How's it going?
Who's this?
Craig Bershtinek.
Oh, hi, Craig.
Hi, how are you?
There
you go.
Good,
okay,
how you doing,
so
Les?
We've got a bunch of writers on here. We've got Les,
yeah,
and
not
we've got Laura Moe and Matt Coyle and E.A. Cook.
Marjorie.
And
Laura.
And Marjorie.
Yep.
Eddie.
Everybody's here. Good writers all. So how about it?
You guys are horrible. Nobody brought me a drink. I don't like this.
Well, next time I see you, I'll buy you one.
Yeah, they do. They all say that.
I know.
Craig, what are you up to these days?
Yes,
okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Just working on 10 different things all at once. And
yeah.
Fighting to get them
kinda
all.
Like
any,
fart in
any
skillet,
one of them completed.
Right?
Yep.
Kind of like
exactly.
a fart in a skillet. Yeah.
Yep,
I
exactly.
hear you. It's my life.
Ed Cook, what are you doing these days? And did you have a question for Les?
Oh, Ed Fruit Thunder?
On a real quick drive-by comment. Just a tie for my favorite interview of the year, and it's tied with the last interview I heard with Les, Tom Pitts.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I look forward to... I've been looking forward all week to hearing him. And I got 12 questions. I'm not going to ask any of them. I just want to thank you very much.
Do any of them involve money?
No, I don't want... No.
If he owes you any money, then he's not going to answer. He told me I have to hang up on people like that.
Hey, Pam.
But ask away. Yeah.
I just want to tell Ed
my bad news that I passed on to you?
What's that? Go ahead and tell everybody
my
your
doctor
bad news.
Yesterday...
Yes.
I thought I might have polio. I got one of the major warning signs. It turns out one of my legs is slightly shorter than the other two. But it turned out it was something else.
You have to listen to what he's saying now. Because this is his joke he tells me every single time.
How many did we lose on that, Pam?
They didn't get it.
I waited with bated breath.
I'm laughing on the inside.
All right, Ed Cook, you have a question? Go right ahead.
No, I just want to say that I'm just thrilled that he's on the air, and I'm just going to stay back and listen, and thank you so much for putting the show together.
Hey, buddy.
Hey,
nice hearing from you.
Welcome.
See you about your time.
All right, Ed, have a good night.
Yes,
thanks
ma'am.
So much. Bye-bye. Okay, Marjorie, you have more questions?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
I just wanted to listen to what Les had to say.
Okay, Marjorie, where can we find you on the interwebs, huh?
Marjorie Brody, and my website is marjoriespages.com.
Okay. Spell Marjorie so we get it the right way, because maybe an E, it may be an O in there.
Marjorie has one of the most fascinating books I've ever read, Twisted. My wife grabbed it first when she gave it to me, and it went through four or five other people before I could get it back and read it. It's one of the most brilliant books I've ever read.
Oh, terrific.
Well, thank you,
Les. So, Marjorie, get your website, please.
M-A-R-J-O-R-I-E.
Okay. And it's Marjorie's Pages.
Pages.
Okay.
.com. I think, Pam, you know, I don't haven't gone on it much myself, so I think that's what
okay.
it is.
Well, just go over to my Facebook page. It's For Pam Stack, or go to Authors on the Air and post it up there, and we'll make sure we spread it around, okay?
Okay, will do. Thanks.
I'm
hey,
so glad
Pam.
You called in. Thank you. Yeah,
Pam,
unless
Marjorie's,
it's going to be at, go ahead.
Marjorie's a part of our WRW group that we almost talked to you last year at. We'll be there again
yeah.
this year. She's one of the main stalwarts
good.
There.
That's what
okay,
I was
so
going
what
to
we're
going to
do
is that if people
this
want to,
year. Yeah, you have to tell me early enough so I can get you all together and get it all planned. Les calls me, you know, at 7 o'clock at night and says, can we do an interview in an hour? And I said, I don't think that's going to work out too well, you know.
Well, should I give you like 12 hours notice next time?
Well, I'll tell you what, Marjorie, you're just going to find me and give me enough notice, okay? Thank you.
You bet.
All right, hon. Have a great night. I'm so glad you called in, Marjorie. Thank you.
My pleasure. Good night.
See you in church,
okay.
Marjorie.
Okay. Bye-bye. Laura, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah, me? Oh, who are you talking
great.
At?
Laura Mo's still with us.
Oh,
and,
Laura, yeah.
And yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Well, first I want to thank Les for the blurb that he gave me. It's actually on the front cover of my book.
Do I get a
so
copy?
What?
Do I get a copy?
Oh, yeah. Didn't I send you a copy?
Cool.
Oh, I guess I didn't send you a hardback, though, did I?
Oh, I know. I've got the e-book. I want the hardback
yeah.
or the paperback.
Okay. All right.
Please.
Well, you can private message me your address on Facebook, and I'll send you a
yeah.
hard copy. Yeah?
It's on my blog, yeah, my address is on there, too.
Okay.
Well, just let
all
me
right.
let
I'll
you know, Laura Moe is going to be interviewed in the beginning of August by special guest host author Jacqueline Michard, who is also the publisher of Merit Press, which is where Laura Moe is published. So that will be coming up soon. I'll be posting all that information. Thank you for sending
very
it to
cool.
me today, Laura.
I'm going to call in and bug you, Laura.
All
there
right. I'm looking forward to that.
So you getting good coffee up there in Seattle?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, they suck. You got to go to New Orleans and get good coffee.
Well, when I went back to Ohio for my book release, it was like, oh, man, the coffee tastes like dishwater.
Yeah,
I
hear you.
Seattle coffee. But anyway,
yeah, you got to set it out and let it rain into it for an hour, right?
There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. Well, I'll let
all
you
right,
get back
Laura,
to your,
I'm glad you called in. It's good to talk to you, and I'll talk to you within the next I talk to you every day on Facebook anyway, so I'll be talking to you again soon, okay? All right.
Okay,
thanks for calling
in. If I see Sam, I'll tell him to call you.
Be in church, Laura.
Have I got all a right. treat for you tomorrow, too. I got a good Sam for you tomorrow.
Ooh,
okay?
I can't wait. All right.
I know. All right.
Thanks.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Who's
so they all bailing on us?
No, we've got Matt is still here. Who else is here?
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
Matt,
Craig's here.
You're still there? And Craig's
here.
Still
I'm
here.
Gonna,
hi.
I'm going to drop,
got
gonna
you,
drop
buddy.
Off. Enjoyed the talk. I'll listen on the radio.
Craig, hold on
just
a second. Craig, don't go away
right,
from me. I have a question for are you a writer also?
Yes. Yeah.
Craig?
All right.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
what I want to say is, give us your website and spell your last name so we can go ahead and get that up, too, on the Authors on the Air page.
Okay. Well, actually, I should have picked a better pen name than my real name because it's like 12 letters long, but
yeah.
I had to go with my
and
given
no vowels.
Okay, so then here's what you can do. Go to my Facebook page. It's For Pam Stack, the digit 4 Pam Stack, and go there, and anybody can post on my page. Post your website and any other social media you have, and let's get the word out about you too. Okay, tell me what kind of books do you write?
Crime.
He's great.
I've been in a. I did 12 Mad Men. I did a story with. Less than that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow.
He's a fantastic writer. Fantastic.
Dimebag Bandits. If you look that up, you'll find me. It's the easiest way to find my name.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do that too. But in the meantime, you can send me an email with your information, and you know, I love reading authors that I've never read before, and I love crime fiction. It's Pam@authorsontheair.com. It's real easy to find me. You can Google them all over the place. Okay, and I'd like to read some of your books. I can tell where I'm going after this show. I'm going to Amazon to buy books. So, but drop me a note.
Oh, Craig will
post
send you 10
like
copies.
That.
Craig
there
will
you
just
go.
Send
I'm
you
sure
10
will.
Copies.
I will
okay.
do that.
Right. You got
Thank
it. I'm glad you called in. I'm glad you called in, Craig. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Is Gerald Connor called in by chance? I was kind of hoping he would.
No. Nope. Not so far.
Oh, he's my guy in Ireland. But he's got a newborn baby, so he's probably...
Yeah, and plus the fact the time zone is way different, you know, way different. So now we're here. Jeez, you know, I lost Les again. Let me go and get him back on. Gee, Matt, it looks like I'm going to have to interview you since Les keeps dropping off. I'm telling you, crazy.
Sam, I don't know what happens. It keeps dropping.
Yeah, it keeps dropping. I don't know. You're hacking away because you've got to drink some water or else get some more whiskey or something. So it's you, me, and Matt Coyle now. Let's chat. We've got a few minutes left. Let's go ahead.
It's Les's hour. I just wanted to say hello and tout Megan because I'm such a fan of Megan Beaumont, and she's going to actually be out here in Mysterious Galaxy with Doug Lyle August 12th, and I'm going to interview him at the local store in San Diego, so that'll be fun. But
good. Are you talking to Doug about Deep Six? Are you talking with Doug about Deep Six? Okay.
Yeah,
I've got a couple.
She'll
copies
be at
VoucherCon right
too,
here.
I think.
Yeah, everybody's
she will.
Going to VoucherCon this year. Everybody except for me.
Everybody
it breaks my
one.
Heart. I know,
yeah,
but you know.
Gotta get drunk up in there.
Hey Matt, find Tom Pitts.
Yeah.
Find Tom Pitts when you're out there because he's doing a Skid Row chatter, and you know, getting all the authors together that do dark crime fiction. Okay. And make
Sounds
sure you pop in because it'll be an open mic.
Will do.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
It'll
I'm
be
glad
chaos.
You called in. Matt Coyle, the new book from Matt is called Dark Fishers, and Matt is up for several awards. Crossing my fingers for you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Me too,
Thanks,
man.
Les.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
All righty.
Be in
Bye-bye.
Church.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, we got another call coming in. Let's see who this is. Hi, you're live with Les. Who's this?
Hi, how's it going?
Hello?
I'm calling from Ireland.
There you
go.
Who is
There's
it? Your call, Les. There's your call from Ireland.
Is this Gerald?
Yes, it is, Les Edgerton.
Hey, buddy.
How are you doing,
he's
my
got
brother?
A new book. When's your book coming out from Down and Out in August or when?
Yeah, it's coming out in end of this year, possibly January 2017. So,
Gerald's been in my class forever, Pam.
Gerald, it's in the middle of the night for you, I know. And
yes,
had
is.
I known
yes, is,
that
huh?
you were gonna, I normally I'm kind to my European authors, and I schedule my show in the afternoon so you can at least have a normal. You know, conversation, but this is Les Edgerton, and you know, you do what Les Edgerton says. When he said
right.
schedule me for a show, and my friend from Ireland better call. He's been talking about you all night. I'm glad you called. Thank you.
He's written two brilliant freaking books. I'm telling you, and he looks so much like me. That's eerie.
Well, I'm not too
like
sure
me.
About that. All I can say is I'm a bit of a maverick. Les has created a bit of a monster. He has me hooked on his class. I can't get out. And I think,
love
you know,
that.
He weaves his magic with his outstanding advice. And I just wanted to say, you know, all of us in the class appreciate his efforts. He's an absolute star when it comes to dedicating himself to his students, you know. And I
Give
think we would, none
of
us would have
book,
got
Gerald,
where we are.
So we know we can post you. Give me the names of your book. So we can put
we'll
a post
two books
up
coming
about
out.
You.
The first one is called The Origins of Benjamin Hackett, and that's coming out in, I think, January 2017 and Down and Out Books. My second book is called The Tannist, and that's you know, in the works. So we don't.
He's finishing that up in class right now.
Okay, The Origins of Benjamin Hackett. Is that what you said?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
It is one of the best novels I've ever read. Sentence by sentence, it's brilliant.
That's coming out in January. Do you have another book that's out right now?
No, I'm a debut author, so this will be my first.
So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take my email. It's pam@authorsontheair.com, and I want you to write to me. And when you debut, you'll come on this show, but I'll schedule it so it's 3 o'clock my time and like 8 or 9 o'clock your time. Will that be better?
Anytime's good with me. I'm a bit of a night owl, and my newborn baby, Oscar, made sure that I was awake tonight for Les's interview, so I felt obliged to ring in.
congratulations.
Very kind. Very kind.
He named his new son after the award he's going to get, Pam.
What's that? What's your son's
name? Oscar.
My child's name is Oscar
Joseph
O'Connor.
That's a classic Irish name, though. But that's a classic Irish name.
Oscar is a very Irish name. Yep, Oscar Wilde. Yeah, it's a traditionally Irish name.
Yes, congratulations. Thank you so much for calling, Gerald. I'm thrilled for you. Congratulations on your debut releases, and I hope to have you on the show.
Much appreciated, Pam. And Les, you're a legend.
And
keep up the good work.
Les knows how to find me if you forget my contact information. You
I
can
talk
always
to
go
Gerald
to
about every
the
day.
Air. Okay, so you can always go to Authors on the Air on Facebook, and that's where I am, and I get all my – I do my own social media, so by all means, please get in touch. I'd love to have you come on the show.
Much appreciated, Pam. And
congratulations on Oscar. Okay, congratulations on Oscar.
Thank you very much.
And the Oscar.
Les, any final words for your friend? Les, any final words for your friend?
Yeah, I'm sitting here drinking a bottle of Middleton he sent me.
There you go.
If you don't know what Middleton is, it's the world's finest whiskey. I mean, it is so freaking good.
It is. I'll have to send you. Are you due a top up, Les? I hear you have a bit of a lip on you, so I probably need to send you over another bottle. No.
That's plenty, Gerald. That's plenty. Just come over and let me take you out and buy you some good American whiskey.
I might still make it to Bouchercon yet. It depends on how the summer pans out. But,
I don't want to take you out because I'll probably show you up. The Irish guys are pretty much bikers when it comes to drinking, so I don't want to embarrass you.
But I'm sure you would put me through the ringer.
Yeah.
He will.
Yeah.
He'll put you through the ringer. There's no doubt.
Hey,
most popular guy at Bouchercon too, by the way, Gerald.
Hey, Pam,
the
he
most
lives
popular
next door,
guy.
The
yes.
oldest bar in Ireland.
Really?
Well,
that's
Pam.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's either your office is there or he lives. I don't know which, but the oldest
cool.
bar in Ireland.
There you go.
I'm right next
that's
to
that. That's a good place to be.
And he's there 24/7.
There you go. Gerald, have a good evening. Thank you so much for calling in all the way from Ireland.
No problem. Absolute pleasure, Pam. And as I say to Les, the guy should be knighted. He's a legend amongst our peers. And I'll bid you good night. Thank you very much, Pam.
Gerald.
Good night. Good night, Gerald.
Take care.
Good night.
I love
Gerald.
I'll
tell you
what. I love
what,
his writing, man.
This is old home week for you, and it's been so much fun for me. I only get this much traffic on the phone when you're on this show. So, therefore,
whatever.
You got to come back. You have to come back sooner than last time. I mean, it's been a while since we
anytime,
spoke.
Anytime, Pam.
So, you know, I love having you on the show.
These are people that I owe money to. These are just folks I owe money to. They're trying to
please.
Find out where I'm at so they can collect.
I'll never tell you. You swore me to secrecy. You know, it's womb to tomb, baby. I don't say a word. So, ladies and gentlemen,
baby.
You've been listening to the legendary Les Edgerton. If you are lucky enough to take his writing class, take it. Les, where are you teaching, and how do people find out about your class?
Well, they go on my blog. All my contact info is on there. I prefer email. I'm really bad with messaging or whatever they call it.
Right.
But email works real. And we can take, we can't take new client, new students on, but we can take as many adjuncts as, is it adjunct? Is that the word I'm thinking of? I mean, you sit in class,
audit,
see everything we
audit.
Do, and it's only
people
50
bucks.
People
want to audit the class. Right.
Audit. Yeah, thank you.
So,
it wasn't adjunct.
You're welcome. Okay, so there you go. I've posted on the Authors on the Air Facebook page, Les's blog. It's also on my Facebook page. Go there if you're interested in taking a class. Trust me, the man knows how to write books. Les Edgerton, I love you dearly, friend, and I will see you when
Same
I see
back
you
at
next,
you.
Okay? All right, my
All right,
love.
Are we
Take
done?
Care.
Is our
we
work
are
done.
Done.
All right,
we've done it. We've
in.
Taken
I love
care
you.
Of it. All right,
All right,
talk to you soon.
Love you, Pam.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you too, Les. Bye. Thanks a lot for listening, everyone. What a fun night. Go read one of Les's books. If you want to write and really write well, go get Hooked, Write Fiction That Grabs Readers at Page One and Never Lets Them Go. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.